Response for these words is, we will remember them. They shall not grow old as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them. Let us remember for God and commend to God's surekeeping those who have died for their country in times of war. Those who we knew, whose memory we treasure. Those whom we have heard of, pictures that we have seen and stories that we have heard. And all who have lived and died in the service of humanity. Let us be still. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, from whose love in Christ we cannot be parted, either by death or life, hear our prayers and accept our remembering for all those that we think of on this day. Fulfill in us the purpose of your love and bring them with us to your eternal joy. And we pledge ourselves to serve you in the cause of peace, for the relief of want, the relief of suffering. Keep us faithful now and always. Amen. Let us pledge ourselves anew to the service of God and our fellow men and women. We cannot do everything, but we can do something. We join to sing. The hymn is number 705, Our God, Our Help in Ages Past. Please have a seat.
Good morning, everybody, and an especially warm welcome to anybody who is here for the first time visiting today. Don't rush off after the service, because there's a church meeting at 12 o'clock, which in turn provides a kind of a nice little hors d'oeuvre to the Afro-Caribbean lunch, which will be here in aid of the Kitchen Fund afterwards. So everybody's welcome. Please do come along. During the coming week, one event in particular for your diary, and that is the autumn tea at 2 p.m. on Wednesday. Everyone is welcome, and if you are coming, you might like to bring some cake with you as well. Looking ahead, you'll find quite a lot of advance notices on the order of service here. So just a couple then I wanted to mention. The first is Saturday the 27th of this month, so next Saturday, isn't it? No, sorry, beg your pardon, that's not. Next Saturday week, which is Big Band Night. Ray Charlton has a ticket with your name on it, so please do see him. And then the following day, on Sunday the 28th, at the evening service is a special Street Pastors celebration at which Les Isaacs, who was the founder of Street Pastors, will be preaching. So I hope you can come.
I just wanted to give a word of explanation for those... Just a minute, am I on? Yes, I am. For those of you who are maybe not aware of... Because we have been in the position of people wondering why British people wear poppies at this season. And it's useful to give a bit of an explanation as to what they're about. It comes from a piece of poetry that was written at the end of the First World War. Afterwards, when the trenches and it was all mud and devastation, the only thing that seemed to be growing was the corn poppy. And a young doctor, John McCrae, was moved by the sight of these poppies and he wrote these words. And this poem dates from 1915. In Flanders fields, the poppies blow between the crosses row on row that mark our place, and in the sky the larks still bravely singing fly, scarce heard amid the guns below. We are the dead. Short days ago we lived, felt dawn, saw sunset glow, loved and were loved, and now we lie in Flanders fields. Take up our quarrel with the foe. To you from failing hands we throw the torch. Be yours to hold it high. If you break faith with us who die, we shall not sleep though poppies grow in Flanders fields. And at the end of the First World War, people who wanted to remember the fallen used the symbol of the poppy, and it was also taken up by an American politician, Mona Michael, who, inspired by this poem, took it and used it to raise funds. And that's how the tradition began, and that's where it is. We're going to begin with a prayer of confession, and then we're going to move into a prayer of praise and thanks. When we get to the prayer of praise and thanks, you might find it useful to open your eyes and look at the pictures. You don't have to, of course, but you might. But first, we confess. Let us pray. Jesus said, "No one has greater love than this, to lay down your life for your friends." Heavenly God, we ask for your forgiveness for those times in our lives when we have been selfish, when we have thought only of ourselves and our own needs, when we have preferred to tread the easy path. We ask that you would forgive us for those times when we have failed in our responsibility as citizens of our country, whichever country that is. When we have thought lightly of what others have done. We ask that you would forgive us for those times when we have failed to do the good that we could do because it was so small and it felt insignificant. And we ask, O God, that you would help us to have the confidence to do those small things which together are the work of your kingdom. In your mercy, O God, free us from the wrong that we have done and move our hearts to praise you. We praise you, God, with the whole earth. We shout and sing and praise you. We remain silent and still you are praised. And everything that can make a sound can praise you. The seas, the rivers, the trees, and every creature can praise you. The animals, the birds, the bugs, the mini beasts. We praise you, God, with the whole earth. We shout and sing and praise you. We remain silent and still you are praised. Everything that can make a sound can praise you. And as we add our sounds to the sounds of others, we wait expectantly for your just rule to cover the earth. Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let us say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Tony, out you come. Now, one of the things that we do at the 11 o'clock service is we have a thing that is called TTT, which stands for This Time Tomorrow. And it's all about helping us to understand and engage with the fact that as Christian people, the thing that matters the most is not what we do when we gather. It matters that we check in with God and we make sure that we worship. It matters a great deal that we do whatever we do in alignment with what is God's will for us. But what we do as the institution of the church is for most of us only a small part of the whole thing of what God requires for us. So, what you will be doing at 20 past 11 on Monday matters to God as much as what you will be doing at 20 past 11 on Sunday. And this might be more challenging for some, what you are doing at 20 past 11 on Monday morning matters as much as what you are doing at 20 past 11 on Friday and Saturday night. Whoa, yowza. Tony Wenman is not merely the organist of Kingston United Reformed Church, which he is, and he is an excellent organist, but he also does other things. So Tony, tell us, what will you be doing? What do you do with the rest of your time?
Well, what I do depends on what I did. I became a choir boy at the age of 7. And that's in 1948, so it's a long time ago. And I remained a choir boy when I went off to train as a teacher in 1960. And I sang in the cathedral choir in Winchester while I was busy training to be a teacher. And because of experiences I'd had in my teenage, I was busy trying to prove that God did not exist. I was at a Church of England training college, and all students had to take a religious teaching certificate. I was entered for that every year, and every year I failed it. So it's something of a surprise to me now, having finished a career in education, to be at King's College London part-time and voluntarily helping to run a forum on religious and spiritual education. T.S. Eliot said, "To know, we must go by the way of ignorance." Well, as far as God's concerned, I'm still on that road of ignorance. And I'm hoping that eventually I might know. But for the moment, all I can do is believe. And that's where I'm at. But tomorrow, I should be at Kingston Hospital, being fitted with 2 new hearing aids, which I hope will help me to hear everything that goes on in Sunday worship. And I leave you to think about the dangers of having an organist who requires hearing aids.
No, stay, please, stay. Let's join to pray. Lord our God, we ask for your blessing on Tony in this important work that he does. We thank you for those who are interested in helping teachers know more and also realizing that there are some things that we will never know all of, that there are always things to explore and to learn, and the education is not about ticking boxes. So bless Tony in this work. Bless him as in his role as the organist in our congregation. Bless him as a husband, a father, and as a grandfather. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Right, I'll walk really slowly so you can walk really fast. Because we're going to join to sing, "Make Me a Channel of Your Peace." The cleansing of the temple is obviously a very important story and is recorded by all those who wrote the Gospels. That's what makes us think it's important. Jesus didn't approve of the buying and the selling that was going on in the temple, and let's be clear, it wasn't popular with the ordinary people either. And so this great building that he was in, that had been taken 40 years to construct, even the ordinary people weren't necessarily all happy with that either, because many people saw it not as a thing to point in towards the greatness of God, but something to do with the human vanity of Herod. So it was always going to happen that the Messiah would be pressed to know when the end time was going to happen. And Jesus says some things, but also makes it clear that other things are not to be known at this point. Sometimes to speak, sometimes to be silent. Martin Verge will read this passage to us.
The reading is from Luke chapter 21, verses 5 through to 19. Some of the disciples were talking about the temple, how beautiful it looked with its fine stones and the gifts offered to God. Jesus said, "All this you see, the time will come when not a single stone here will be left in its place. Everyone will be thrown down." "Teacher," they asked, "when will this be? And what will happen in order to show that the time has come for it to take place?" Jesus said, "Be on guard, don't be deceived. Many men claiming to speak for me will come and say, 'I am he,' and 'the time has come.' But don't follow them. Don't be afraid when you hear of wars and revolutions. Such things must happen first, but they do not mean that the end is near." He went on to say, "Countries will fight each other. Kingdoms will attack one another. There will be terrible earthquakes, famines, and plagues everywhere. There will be strange and terrifying things coming from the sky. Before all these things take place, however, you will be arrested and persecuted. You will be handed over to be tried in synagogues and be put in prison. You will be brought before kings and rulers for my sake. This will be your chance to tell the good news. Make up your minds beforehand not to worry about how you'll defend yourselves, because I will give you such words and wisdom that none of your enemies will be able to refute or contradict what you say. You will be handed over by your parents, your brothers, your relatives, and your friends, and some of you will be put to death. Everyone will hate you because of me, but not a single hair from your heads will be lost. Stand firm, and you will save yourselves."
And those words might feel far-fetched, and they might feel bizarre, and they might feel a long way away. But imagine how those words would sound if we were gathering in Iraq. Now, Jesus says that we are going to be persecuted, but he also says that persecution gives an opportunity to speak out, to say the words, to declare what we believe. There are times to be silent and there are times to speak out. And if injustice is to be challenged, then there will be times when people have to speak out, alongside the times when we need to be silent. So on Thursday, 11 o'clock, where were you? What's your story? What was happening for you, where you were? I'll tell you what happened to me. I was on the tube, and the underground said we were keeping the silence. And then they said it at 10:02, then they said it at 5:02, and then they said, "Would you please be silent with us?" And the young man who was sitting near me, I was on the platform, he stood up a young man, and he just stood there, and we stood. And then they announced that the silence was over. So that was in the underground system. Anybody else? Somebody was telling me today that they were in Sainsbury's and they announced it. Anybody else in a public place where they announced the silence? Marks and Spencer's did, okay? In the hospital, they announced it over the you were working in the hospital. Yeah, okay. I've been there in the gym when they've announced it. Yeah.
On a train to Birmingham.
Right, and they announced it over there. All right, okay. The transport have obviously decided that this is something they're really going to be taking part of. But it's interesting as well, sort of 10 years ago, they were trying to move the whole remembering thing to the Sunday. And it feels like it's just gone, bing, back to the 11th. Is that just me? Yeah? Yes. That it used to be that they were trying to sort of shunt it onto the Remembrance Sunday, but now in schools and in a whole load of shops and organisations, people are taking this thing seriously because they want to take time to remember, to be silent. Now, you probably are aware that there is a big battle going on at the moment between the British Legion and Take That. Yes? And it's for what is going to be number one in the charts today. And Take That, I've got a song, and the British Legion have a video, which we're going to sit and watch. And the reason I didn't use this for the 2 minute silence is because it's too easy to get distracted into, who's that? Oh, just met, oh, yeah, he was in such and such. Oh, yeah, I remember him from. No. It's just to help us to remember and to reflect, but also to think about those times when the right thing to do is not to be silent, but to speak out. Let us pray. Give us the words, Companion Christ, to tell it like it is. To tell others what discipleship really means. The highs and the lows, the mundane days and the exciting ones. To tell the stories of your involvement in the world. To motivate people to act justly and peacefully when we know the needs of the world. To communicate hope when despair creeps in. And to remain firm in our faith in you. And we pray in Jesus' name, Amen. We join to sing Peace. Perfect peace. Oh, sorry, just a minute. It's me putting a bit of video is throwing the whole system out. So if you're going to 594, please. And the books are underneath the chair in front of you. 594. All systems go. Thank you. You please be seated. So let us join together to pray. Let us pray. And sometimes we do your work in the silence. And sometimes we do your work with a shout. God, our Creator, as we gather to remember those who have given their lives in the service of their country. We pray for those who are bereaved, those who mourn the loss of someone that they have loved, those who've been widowed and those who've been orphaned. Help those who are alongside them to know that sometimes all they have to offer is their silent presence. But may those who are bereaved know that it is allowable for them to weep loud tears of sadness. Sometimes, O God, you are known in the silence, and sometimes you are known in the shouting. So we pray for those who protest loudly about the futility of war. And we pray for those who quietly build community in their relationships with their neighbours. And we pray for those who march and we pray for those who are still. We pray for politicians who make decisions about how young men and women may lose their lives. We pray that they would be sensitive to you, O God, and to your call for justice. And we pray that we, the silent majority, would have the dedication and the discipline to listen to you, to talk to one another, and then to guide our leaders about what we hear and know and believe. And sometimes, O God, you are known in the silence. And sometimes you are known in the shout. We pray for ourselves that you would guide us, O God, to know when to be silent. And when we are to speak out. And guide us as a church community to know what issues we must make public declaration on and what things we have to let go. Guide us, Lord Jesus. We pray in your name. Amen. So let us continue our worship as we make our offering. Let us pray. Bless, O God, this money that we bring, the coins and the checks, the standing orders, the gift aid envelopes. We dedicate it all to your causes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, we have in our community at the moment two people who are celebrating big, significant O birthdays. One of them's not here, so we will sort the flowers to her. But one of them is here. And if I'm bringing this out, you think, aha, must be a chap. And you'd be right. Derek's pretending that I'm invisible. Happy birthday! Hooray! Woo! Now, one of the things that is very important in the life of this church is a system that we have which is called the neighbourhood system. Which means that everybody who hangs around with us for a while, whether they become a member of the church or not, becomes enmeshed, though they know it, maybe not at all, in the neighbourhood system. And they have these neighbours have a list of people who they have responsibility for, just to keep an eye on. If there's anything anybody needs to do, then they speak to somebody, and maybe we need to, you know, intervene some. Maybe we need to go and visit. Maybe we need to pray. Sometimes we need to do bigger stuff than that. So we have a whole team of people who are church neighbours. And we, at this point, are going to ask for God's blessing on them and dedicate them again for this continued service. So those of you who are church neighbours whose legs will let you, would you please stand? We also have pastoral coordinators. Each of these church neighbours is in a system, and we have four pastoral coordinators. One is Anne McFarlane, one is Pat Brooks, one is Margaret McMahon, and one is Maggie Arnold. Let us pray. Lord our God, we know it is not the be-all and end-all of church life that we would care for each other, but it is important, and it is that which can help us to go out to care for others. So we ask that you would bless these church neighbours and pastoral coordinators. Bless them in the work that they do. May they be dedicated, and disciplined. Help them when they hear things that they would rather not hear. Help them when we irritate them with our demands. May they be wise in what they share with others. And help them, O God, to care for themselves. Lord our God, may this work be part of your love reaching out into Kingston, into our community, that all may know something of your love, Lord Jesus. We pray in your name. Amen. We join to sing our final hymn, Be Thou My Vision. May our faithful God strengthen us and keep us safe. May Christ make us confident and sure in what we do for him. And may the Spirit lead us to a better understanding of the way of love. And may we never tire of doing good. Amen.